The first scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Since then we have such a hope, we act with complete frankness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, the same veil is still there. It is not unveiled, since in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. From Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen.
Let's give thanks for the reading of the word. Please be seated. So next week we will be celebrating the Transfiguration. But I think it is an important enough celebration that we give it some extra focus this year. So we have just heard the story of the Transfiguration from the Gospel of Luke. And next week we will hear the same story from the Gospel of Matthew. The Transfiguration tells us of a mountaintop experience. And in Scripture, mountaintop experiences are important. Moses has a mountaintop experience where he is invited into God's presence on top of a mountain to receive a covenant between God and God's people. Elijah is invited to a mountaintop at a low point in his ministry, where he hears the still, small voice of God. And Jesus invites the disciples to a mountaintop experience, where they experience the Transfiguration of Christ and the voice of God breaking into the world. The thing about a mountaintop experience, though, is that it is never earned. Moses does not earn his way to the top of Mount Sinai. Elijah doesn't earn himself to hearing the still small voice of God. The disciples do not earn their way into Jesus' company to go up the mountain. The disciples were often just as lost and confused and messed up as you or I might be. The disciples don't follow Jesus up the mountain because they are the most faithful in the land, nor are they the most righteous, nor are they the most learned. You see, the invitation to follow comes before. It comes before faith is proven. It comes before the disciples may even feel like they are ready. This is perhaps proven when Jesus is on top of the mountain and Moses and Elijah show up and the disciples want to build shrines to them there. They are not yet ready. They are not yet seeing God clearly. You see, God does not wait for perfection in order to act. And that might seem foreign to us because that's not how anything else in our world works. So often we wait for just the right time, just the right circumstances in order to act. And yet God continues to act before the time is right, before the people are ready. God does not wait for perfection in order to love us. You see, God's love is not a reward for our righteousness. It is spiritual sustenance for starving souls that God does not withhold. That is the thing about grace in our Wesleyan understanding. Grace is freely given to everyone. It is not withheld for any reason. Last week we talked about grace that precedes understanding. So before we understand even the nature of God, God is pouring love onto us. We call that prevenient grace, grace that precedes our understanding. Today I want to talk about grace that precedes our perfection, and we might call that justifying grace. Before we have been made perfect in love, before we see God clearly, God still loves us. The difference between that prevenient grace and justifying grace, though, is our understanding. Justifying grace requires that we begin to see that our lives are not yet as they should be. It requires us to see that our lives are broken, to see that we have messed up who we are, that we do not yet reflect the love of God fully in our lives, and realizing that God loves us nonetheless, and that God's love desires for us to grow. That is justifying grace. Recognizing that we are not yet perfected in love and that God loves us all the same. Perhaps what I find most important this morning about the Transfiguration experience is the invitation. That when God invites you to the mountaintop, you should go. Even if you are not ready, even if you do not know what you will experience at the top, when God invites you to go to the mountaintop, you should go. When John Wesley talked about grace, he would talk about prevenient grace as this stretch of your lives before understanding. And he would talk about sanctifying grace as a process that you lived through in your life. But he would talk about justifying grace as an experience. Like walking through a doorway, something would change in your life in an instant. You would have an experience of God's love and nothing would ever be the same again. In his own life, he talked about his heart being strangely warmed at one point in his life. That experience of God's love changing everything. Justifying grace happens in a moment through an experience of God. And maybe that means that we learn to love God in the unexpected places of life. Maybe it means that we learn of God's love by going to places we otherwise wouldn't have gone, doing things we otherwise wouldn't have done, meeting people we wouldn't have met otherwise, being in ministry in ways that we otherwise may have missed. So maybe the mountaintop Jesus will invite you to isn't a mountaintop after all. Maybe it's an invitation to go check on your neighbor when it's 10 below zero. Or maybe it's an invitation to share a meal with someone who hasn't had a warm meal all week. Or maybe it's an invitation to care for the wild places of this world. Perhaps it is through these lived experiences of God's grace that we learn of the need of God's grace in our to be more and more like Christ. But right now, when we hear the invitation to experience the grace of God in our lives, whether that is to go up the mountain, or to come into church, or to walk in the streets of Oneonta, whatever the invitation is, what if we said yes and experienced the love of God in a new way? Let's be in prayer together. Most wondrous, holy God, what is the next mountaintop you will invite us to? What is the next ministry field, the next mission, the next opportunity to see your love being poured out in the world? What is the next opportunity that will remind us that we have not yet been perfected in your love, but that you don't wait for perfection in order to heap love upon us? Lord, I pray that we may continue to find those experiences in our walk in faith. In Christ I pray. Amen.